and welcome to today's edition of This Bar, the Florida Bar. I am your host, Les Winston, and I'm with you every weekday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz in South Florida. And we also stream live on www.thisbartheflorida.com. We stream worldwide, so this show has tremendous range, and we are, of course, asking for your help to maintain the show on the air. We can use contributions. Those contributions can be made through the website at www.thisbartheflorida.com. And it is very important that we maintain the show and continue the process to change the way lawyers are disciplined and to clean up the corruption at the head of the Florida Bar. We have been telling stories of individuals who are victims of the Florida Bar's corruption, victims either financially, in some cases physically victims, and some cases the death of an individual has been caused by the laxity of the Florida Bar. So this is a very important problem here in Florida. It is creating a lot of rotten apples because the good old boys club is protecting themselves, and it's very difficult to get a level playing field if you're involved in the courts in Florida in many instances. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Elliot, what is your current position? Are you an attorney?
No, I'm not. An inventor.
Okay, and you have patents, I assume, for your inventions?
I have patents that are suspended pending investigations for my inventions.
And how are you involved with the Florida Bar? Let's get the basic premise of this. How did the Florida Bar have an effect on you?
My Florida attorneys, Proskauer Rose, basically attempted to steal my intellectual properties, and one of the avenues of relief I sought was the Florida Bar.
So you filed a complaint against Proskauer and Rose for what? For basically violating your client, attorney-client privilege? Or
a whole lot of issues. You know, I also filed against my attorney's almost identical complaints with the Federal Patent Bar, which is headed by Harry Motes, of the Office of Enrollment and Discipline. And there, after he had questioned why the Florida Bar and the New York Attorney Disciplinary Committees had reviewed the same information that I had sent him and they had done nothing, he began an investigation whereby he directed me to file with the Commissioner of Patents claims of fraud on the Patent Office by the lawyers who fraudulently submitted oath of application to the U.S. Patent Office. And so those same lawyers are under investigation at the Federal Patent Bar, and at the Florida Bar and New York Bar we found that they were bulletproof, basically, at both places, until we discovered that the people handling the complaints in both states were actually Proskauer Rose people who were officers of the Florida Bar handling their own complaints against their firm and doing all kinds of things to railroad and whitewash the complaints. And then only all too recently in New York, we have an unfolding whistleblower case of a New York Supreme Court staff attorney who's blown the whistle on the New York attorney regulatory body, including the one that, you know, oversees Wall Street, whereby she's claiming that there were favored law firms and lawyers and a cleaner in the ethics department named Naomi Goldstein, who was cleaning complaints for these favored law firms and lawyers, as well as U.S. attorneys, district attorneys, assistant district attorneys. And she also points to illegal representation by the New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo's offices in efforts to stymie the complaint process. She mentions me in her original lawsuit she files, and she filed that in a federal court under Judge Shira Shinlin, who then took my lawsuit, which is now a $12 trillion lawsuit, naming the Florida Bar and the Florida Supreme Court, along with a whole host of other lawyers, judges, regulators, and prosecutors in New York and Florida.
You're saying $12 trillion?
correct, $12 trillion.
Okay.
The patents that were stolen were likened by leading engineers around the world to electricity. So I don't know what the value of electricity has been since Edison, but so far the technologies have driven the internet to the levels that it's at and driven imaging to all new levels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used on pretty much every digital imaging and video product.
Is the New York?
There was a lot at stake for these lawyers. You know, this wasn't a small heist of, you know, a little patent. This is one of the largest inventions of the digital imaging time. Probably more powerful at this point than the operating system is the media that drives the internet.
Okay, so let me just reiterate that a little bit because it's a lot to digest in a short period of time. You invented a system. You invented something that was extremely powerful, and your attorneys, Proskauer and Rose, according to what you've told me, you have accused them of stealing your patent. And you, when you realized what they had done, you reported them to the Florida bar, and you reported them to the New York bar as well.
It's the New York disciplinary departments. The bar is. It's also useless in New York, but it's less useful because disciplinary actions are happen through the appellate court disciplinary committees.
And is that better than what happens in Florida?
No, they both are terrible. In fact, when I spoke to the New York Senate Judiciary Committee, which is investigating the whistleblower stuff, yeah, my suggestion was blow up these bar associations. They're nothing more than basic drinking establishments for lawyers. And, you know, turn all of this infraction, conflicts, et cetera, into felonies and triple the penalties if they violate the public trust and their legal titles. And, you know, put these guys, you know, like any other criminal, not outside the law. I'm also suing in that same lawsuit Greenberg Traub, as well as Foley and Lardner,
mm-hmm.
and a few other law firms that were involved in Central 2. Greenberg Traub was my patent attorney for part of the time, and now they're representing the Florida bar in New York against me in my lawsuit. And again, ignoring conflicts, because conflicts is how these guys operate. It's the glue that binds their whole RICO-type criminal law firm enterprises together.
So they can get anything done they need to get done to protect themselves. Is that basically what you feel?
You know, absolutely. An FBI investigator explained it to me that the most insidious crime is a law firm that's corrupted, and where I was bringing in a RICO of several law firms, very powerful firms, that could penetrate, you know, basically the regulatory body. So, voila, the regulatory body with the ethics department in New York has a cleaner,
mm-hmm.
and they're whitewashing attorney complaints for U.S. attorneys and whatnot. You're talking a complete takeover, a coup on the legal system by these, I call them dirty, rotten, RICO enterprise law firms that are nothing more than criminals using law firms as a front organization. And then wherever they need a regulation broke, you know, I saw some of the Allen Stanford stuff where Proskauer, Tom Slobjum, the partner there, was in a Miami airport teaching Stanford employees how to lie to FBI and SEC investigators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we see the SEC regulator in Madoff. We see Proskauer has the most clients, and people handling the distribution of Madoff are
mm-hmm.
Proskauer-related. Mark Dreyer's got relations to lawyers. They're all lawyers, and they're able to penetrate the regulatory bodies to, you know, lower banking regulations.
And why are they not also, why haven't they also penetrated the United States Senate, United States Congress in general? They've also penetrated the executive branch. You have a president that's an attorney.
They have.
Okay, so that's a huge, huge control issue if they can regulate themselves into this kind of power.
Well, they don't. That's exactly. It's not regulate themselves, you mean.
Yeah.
And they have the power to regulate themselves, which is a power that's insane that the people would ever grant, which they didn't grant. It's been legally misused. You know, they've created law for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're investigating themselves. That's the biggest joke in the world. And it fails. They can't handle any evidence, and they end up having to keep all of the people out of court through these, you know, dubious denials of due process to people to steal their property, whether it be their patents or, you know, in some instances they're outright torturing people in Guantanamo. And if we look at that, you know, we find you and Bebe and a bunch of lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's lawyers have, you know, these aren't lawyers. These are criminals.
And so in New York, there was a little bit of a different arrangement in the sense that there was a New York staff attorney. When you say, I guess that's somebody that is actually hired and paid by the state of New York to operate on the staff of a disciplinary committee. Is that how that works?
Correct. And she was handling complaints, and she makes allegations in an open U.S. federal court before Judge Sheriff Shinlin that, you know, they were whitewashing, destroying documents for favored law firms,
uh-huh.
for the U.S. attorney, the DA, and the ADA. I mean, yeah. John Gotti was being tried upstairs, two floors up,
uh-huh.
and there was no cleaner at his trial.
Right.
But there was a cleaner at the ethics department in New York.
Right.
The ethics department.
Like right.
The highest office of law
right.
in New York is run by, well, actually, this guy that I'm charging in my lawsuit, Tom Cahill, the former chief counsel of that department, who blocked my complaints, he resigned amidst an ethics scandal where they were bringing hookers into the ethics department of New York.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, if this is what you call ethics, that's
well, yeah.
the system that I believe exactly is replicated here in Florida, where people are being threatened, people who are going to do good things. Like, you know, for example, there's a clerk of the court, Deborah Yarbrough of mm-hmm. the Supreme Court of Florida. You know, she did a solid for me. She, you know, pointed out that the conflicts that I was accusing the Florida Bar of and their total, you know, violations of law were in fact wrong, and got me to petition to the Florida Supreme Court, where, you know, again, it started out good, but then who knows what the, you know, the threats are. When we look at Anderson, this is a woman who testifies she was afraid to come out of her office. She's 60-plus years old.
Uh-huh.
She was afraid to come out of her office, that they were stalking her. In fact, a Nicole Corrado in New York, went another staff attorney of the first department, appellate division, departmental disciplinary committee, where Anderson works.
Okay.
Nicole Corrado was on her way to testify for Anderson, and senior officers of the Supreme Court in New York threatened her, and this is in a federal lawsuit. That's federal obstruction, extortion by the court people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's out of control. It's so out of control and ridiculous that, you know, I mean, I don't know what these bars are all about or what they're for, but they're to block lawyers from getting charged with felony misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the state and country falling apart from it. And everywhere you look, every scandal, Ponzi, bank, derivative, nonsense, crap, is all Ivy League lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Ivy League lawyers, well, I don't want to pick on all Ivy League lawyers, but you're...
I would.
Yeah,
at this point, that whole hemisphere of education is corrupted.
Okay.
And that they're not, the colleges are being actually training children in the wrong way of law, which is this, you know, criminal kind of break the law using law for your own advantage.
Skirting.
And there's no scruples, there's no ethics. If what I saw in New York is the ethics department, we're in a whole world of literally, imagine, this is the Wall Street ethics department washing U.S. attorney complaints. I mean, it's unheard of what she disclosed in Gotham that day.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it in a federal court. I would assume that Andrew Cuomo is all over this with at least an investigation, meaning his office was defending the state defendant she was accusing, and thereby failing to even investigate the public officials. Notice how the conflicts, again, work to deny any prosecution of these people who have placed themselves above the law.
How do you define your being a victim now of the Florida bar? How would you define that?
Well, how do they rape you? Molest you?
Yeah, well, that was...
Molest your life? Well, you asked that, and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And I prefaced it with those words because they allowed somebody to put a bomb in my car and attempt to murder my three children, including Justice Jorge Labarga, who was the West Palm Beach fixer of the Bush-Gore election, and we all owe him a thanks for the Bush pick he gave us. And for that, he got, you know, elected within the criminal organization and got to the Supreme Court from his felonious conduct, as well as conduct directly in my lawsuit, a lawsuit that's even more bizarre. But how do you feel? I feel like all of those people at the bar, at the Florida Supreme Court, and even at the West Palm Beach, you know, Judge Labarga's court, that, you know, they blocked all my rights to get into court, meaning I'm trying to sue lawyers and judges and, you know, regulators and state officials, and they were all afraid to let me into a courtroom to present my evidence, which is, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. They were caught stealing the patents.
Right.
One lawyer putting 90 patents in his own name.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, beyond.
Beyond. Is right.
So you feel completely raped. Sodomized without your legal rights by the very people who are supposed to be entrusted to uphold those rights. And so it's, I always say to people, one of the related cases to the whistleblower, including my lawsuit, is Gisela Weishaus, a famous Nazi Holocaust survivor who won the Swiss Bank Money Awards several years ago. And I was talking to her as she was getting beat up in the courts and denied due process from the same judges and writing great pleadings but completely getting denied. I said, well, you know, Gisela, it's like going to the Gestapo and telling them the camp guards are treating you bad and the food sucks.
That's a very, it's a funny statement, but it's not funny, haha.
Okay, so in New York... Yeah. Where Anderson blew the whistle on these guys, I immediately stepped outside my lawsuit and said to the entire Second Circuit and U.S. District Court, freeze. I actually filed a motion to compel, and I'm about to file a motion to kiss my ass, which is to tell them, freeze, you're under arrest. She just pointed to every lawyer in New York. She said, not in New York, actually here in Florida maybe too, because she said favored lawyers and law firms. She said U.S. attorneys. She fingered every lawyer in New York as being part of this this disciplinary system gone amok. Until we know who these lawyers are that she's blowing the whistle on, who these prosecutors are, the U.S. attorneys, I charge them all with criminal obstruction of justice because she points out the same conflicts of interest, document destruction, and everything I've been complaining about from these bar agencies who do nothing but abuse people.
I mean, they
do absolutely nothing. In fact, what they do is they give lawyers a chance. I would never send another complaint or tell everybody not to send any complaints to the bars. Just file criminal actions against your attorneys for either misdemeanors or felony misconduct. And stay away from the bars because you're giving all your evidence to the lawyers in advance, and they, in conflict, go handle their own cases. In both cases in New York and Florida, I found Proskauer partners violating the Florida bar rules and the New York bar rules, not bar rules, but disciplinary rules. And in both instances, that's where Deborah Yarbrough of the Florida Supreme Court helped me get up to the Supreme Court. And in New York, five justices ordered people from Proskauer and the guy who put the 90 patents in his name, Ray Joa, ordered for investigation by five justices. Now, that got derailed because these guys are great at penetrating all of the, you know, because of their legal titles. they're almost accepted into, you know, prosecutorial, judge, you know, you name it, a legal degree will get you in the door. And where you're defending your life, these firms like Greenberg and Proskauer and Foley and Lardner here in Florida, you know, right now there's also a Florida philanthropist, Monty Friedkin, who was run the same, similar, steal his intellectual properties from his company by the same ring of Proskauer, Foley, you know, gang of guys here in Florida. And, you know, obviously, if you control the bars and you're able to handle your own complaints against yourself in conflict and violation of the rules, then you should fear not stealing from anybody. And so then again, I would remind everybody not to go to a patent attorney. File your own patents, because, and now they're trying to make it first to file. Actually, some of the people who I'm accusing have placed people inside the patent office recently through Obama. Including David Kappos of IBM and some other people from Foley and Lardner, where they're trying to get it first to file, and then, you know, you'll always be two steps behind your lawyer.
My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot is an inventor, and he had invented some extremely valuable patented items that were taken from him by his Florida attorneys, and has been going through a process of trying to recapture what was taken from him in the courts, and has basically run into the exactly thing about on this program, which is a very high level of corruption at the disciplinary level, and recommends that rather than go through the disciplinary process, that you file criminal complaints against the attorneys. We're going to put a pin through that, and when we come back from this short commercial break, we're going to talk a little bit more with Elliot Bernstein about how that would work, and also to try to get a clearer understanding of exactly what the process is if you are damaged by an attorney in the state of Florida, which is where we are. And now also it's you're saying that the state of New York has got some problems as well. But we're going to touch on that when we come back. This is This Bar, the Florida Bar, and we're with you every weekday here from 2 to 3 right here on The Biz in South Florida, 880 a.m. on the dial. And we also stream live on www.thisbartheflorida.com. I know that that's probably a funny name for a radio show and a funny name for a website, but it's a true name, because what we're trying to do is to disbar the Florida Bar and stop the bar from being the entity that disciplines attorneys in the state of Florida. The attorneys are disciplining themselves, and as a result, it's created a very dangerous good old boys network and created a lot of rotten apples. And it is very difficult to overcome those handicaps when you're involved in lawsuits against those in power. And you are denied honest services from the Florida Bar because they are a controlling entity in the state of Florida to such a degree that nothing can be done to correct that problem, short of eliminating them through the corruption at the head. And we have talked about the corruption of John Harkness, who is the executive director of the Florida Bar, in that he does sit on the board of the Florida Lawyers Mutual Insurance Company, which is a for-profit insurance company. So here you have someone who is the head of a state agency, also operating in his capacity as a director on a for-profit insurance company. That for-profit insurance company's objective is to protect lawyers who are sued for malpractice, and that in and of itself is a conflict of interest that should have been investigated a long time ago. We have a governor who has impaneled the state grand juries to ferret out corruption in the judiciary. And to date, even though we've noticed everybody in the executive branch, everybody in the federal U.S. Attorney's Office with regard to this individual's conflicts, nothing has happened. They do go after others of less power. We see that daily in the newspapers, where they've gone after commissioners, school board commissioners, you know, trying to make the appearance that they are ferreting out corruption, and yet they're leaving corruption at the highest level in place, and that's a level that affects all of us. You are going to be affected at some time in your life by an unfair playing field when it comes to the law. And when you go into a court in that scenario, if you are not part of the powerful group, you stand to lose no matter what. And they are taking money from senior citizens, from the guardianship programs. They're taking money from the bankruptcies. They're taking money and property from individuals in every way they can because they are able to. Now, we're not saying that all attorneys are bad. We're not suggesting that all attorneys do illegal things. We're not doing anything of the kind. What we're saying is that there is a network of protected attorneys who are powerful, of powerful law firms, who are insiders, who get the benefit of the benefit of protection from this racketeering operation. And that's what needs to be corrected. We're going to be back with my guest, Elliot Bernstein, who has been affected as a victim by having patents stolen from him. He has a $12 trillion lawsuit against many of the entities that we've been discussing, including New York entities. And we'll be back with Elliot after the short commercial break. Don't go away. My name is Les Winston, and I host Disbar the Florida Bar right here on The Biz in South Florida.
The United States Trustees Program is the largest organized criminal element in the world.
In Florida, all other professionals except lawyers are governed by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Only lawyers regulate themselves through the Florida Bar.
Because the Florida Bar is controlling all three branches of government now. We have attorneys in all three branches. There's a system out of control. There's no more check and balance.
This has created a very dangerous good old boys club and a lot of rotten apples.
Sue me.
Tune in each weekday from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. and listen to stories of individuals who have been affected by the corruption of the Florida Bar. We want you to be aware of the problem that we have with this disciplinary agency. Join us every weekday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz. And we're back. This is Disbar the Florida Bar. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot is a very knowledgeable individual, a very smart person who has been affected, having had patents. He's an inventor. He certainly is someone who can figure out chess games and figure out the intricacies of these interwoven parties. Elliot, I wanted to go back to your comment before where you said that rather than file a complaint with the Florida Bar or with the New York Bar or with any of the bar associations, the first thing you should do is file a criminal complaint against the attorney with a law enforcement agency.
Correct.
Yeah, I did that. I was a victim, and in my capacity as a director of Barron Stores, which was a well-known men's retailer here in South Florida. I became involved about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, in a, 6 years ago, actually, in a process where they were trying to collect in a lawsuit against three attorneys for malpractice insurance, for malpractice. And one of the attorneys for the other side proffered counterfeit documents from the United States Bankruptcy Court, brought them into a state court, and I went to the Dade County Corruption Unit, Dade County Police Corruption Unit, and reported him to the Corruption Unit. And what they did was they sent it to they did the intake, they did the investigation. They didn't have to do much investigation because I provided them with the document and I provided them with an independent forensic expert's opinion under oath that that was a counterfeited document. And what they did was they took it to the state attorney, to the state's attorney's office, and the state's attorney's office said, well, we're not in a position to determine whether this is really a counterfeited document or not, and this is being, there's something going on in the courts, so let the courts decide. What do you think would happen in most cases where you file a criminal complaint against an attorney?
Well, the problem is far larger.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Alberto Gonzalez tipped you off that the Justice Department had been politicized top down.
Mm-hmm.
That attorneys were being replaced, similar to what Anderson was claiming that they, you know, she was complaining that they were doing wrong things and, well, document destruction and whitewashing, and they were pushing her out the door with heavy-handed approaches. Remember, my assumption starts with these are mobsters. They're not lawyers. They're people who look like lawyers, but lawyers don't act like this. Obviously, they have ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good lawyers. But right. What's taken over is more like a mob atmosphere within the legal community, and that extends all the way up to White House counsel. That extends all the way up to the regulators at the highest levels of our government who have failed us. And notice they're all coming from or going to law firms, a certain group of law firms.
Mm-hmm.
And so my assumption is it's a criminal RICO enterprise that has infiltrated all of the legal system, including all the way up at the U.S. federal level. Obviously, Anderson saying whitewashing was going on for U.S. attorneys brings it to the federal level, as well as the DA and ADA.
Mm-hmm.
So where you're in a state where your ADA and DA and U.S. attorney, similar to New York and Florida, I would assume, where I've run into the same exact pattern, mm-hmm. have been overtaken by criminals, you're back at asking the Gestapo for leniency at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to get it, meaning the head of this beast needs to be disassembled. And the way we do that is, you know, lawyers are no longer above the law. All these regulators who lowered the guard in Florida for Stanford or for other banking in New York should all be tried. They shouldn't be making money, and we certainly don't need them as bright people who ruin the system to attempt to fix the system, which makes no sense. And so, you know, until we start grabbing these attorneys, judges, and prosecutors by the neck and hanging them like we used to do in the West when they corrupted, and I'm all for a good lynching of them if they're found guilty of treason against the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I liken this all to treason against the country because they have defeated the game here.
Mm-hmm.
They've found a way to commit criminal acts of stealing and robbing from the people of everything, their homes, their 401ks, their bank accounts. And like I said, most of it comes back to a few Ivy League schools, which have been pumping out a bunch of criminal lawyers. And those criminal lawyers have polluted, perverted pretty much everything. And to block complaints against themselves, they've taken over the disciplinary, the ethics committee. They're running whorehouses in the ethics committee. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so outrageous and so ridiculous and such a shame on all of them. They should be disgraced at that Supreme Court. They should hang themselves next.
So
what they've done to the state and the people, and literally it's all by lowering the regulations and then saying, oh, the regulator fell asleep on the Greenberg truck. I mean, Greenberg was in there lowering the regulations so that they could do these banking deals that were illegal with Stanford offshore.
And what,
they should all be charged with felony crimes, not sent to the state bar. You know, you and baby should be charged with crimes against humanity and not sent to the bar, but sent to a courtroom for federal criminal charges against them. Why being a lawyer gets you to the bar, and then the bar is your peers who are all guilty of the same crimes.
Well, that's the protection. That's the protectionism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what it allows them to do is the bars allow them to feather their caps
mm-hmm.
with vindication letters against the victims
mm-hmm.
on letterhead of the Florida bar.
Right.
And it's a joke.
Right.
It's just at random. I've got these Florida bar guys breaking. So, in fact, when I caught the Proskauer partner Matthew Triggs in conflict violating his public office position with the bar in a multitude of ways, Kenneth Marvin and one of his cohorts, they tried to dismiss the complaint I filed against the guy, and they cited a law, a draft legislation that they had drafted just days earlier, trying to exculpate the guy from Proskauer from what he was caught doing, which
mm-hmm.
was handling complaints with while he was in a blackout period.
Okay.
And so they sent that to me, and it's up on my website at iviewit.tv.
What is give me the website again.
They actually created a proposed draft legislation to exculpate him from the bar rule he had violated and tried to dismiss his complaint by sending that to me and saying, see, here it is, rule number blah. But there was no rule. It had never been enacted. It hadn't even been really run through the Florida Supreme Court yet.
And what do you do? I mean, now they send this to you. it's obviously it's protection for this attorney that they've drummed up, that they've created out of nowhere.
Right.
And when they do that, what do you do with that? Where do you go with that? How do you overcome that? If you go to the Supreme Court with it, what happens in the Supreme Court?
What are you kidding? I'm suing every single one of those judges at the Supreme Court of Florida. I'm suing the State Bar of Florida. And I hope that they're all reporting a $12 trillion federal RICO and antitrust lawsuit to state regulators and insurance auditors and everybody. They better be reporting that they're all sued as defendants in that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Florida Bar hopefully isn't hiding a $12 trillion lawsuit from state regulators. I mean, I hope not.
Well, they're certainly hiding it from their own insurance company.
I hope not. I mean, that would be even more criminal. I mean, that's criminal.
Hello?
You're talking more insurance fraud and a whole, you know.
Well, it's bigger than that. What is your website?
I could really put the people of Florida in great peril from these crooks. I don't know how state regulators could be that asleep in the state of Florida.
Well, they are.
Sure, they're auditing, you know, their books and in compliance are fulfilling all their legal and fiduciary responsibilities. That I know they would.
Only when somebody reports a poor schnook that they want to make an example of, do they do anything. But if their reporting is about anybody in power, they bury it. They tie it up. Even Rothstein. It's very interesting that Rothstein's case, which certainly is not as significant as Madoff, but it's still very significant. $1.2 billion in a Ponzi scheme. He's been sitting in jail. They're waiting to sentence him. And of course, the Miami Herald, which is an ineffectual a newspaper from the standpoint of reporting anything of consequence, because they're also in bed with a lot of these law firms. It appears to be that way.
Well, the law firms are behind the media at this point too. They control a lot of the media.
Yeah, but they're reporting Rothstein, because he helped them arrest. Or he assisted them in the capture of a mobster who was going to launder money for him. He wore a wire,
and right, as his friend,
yeah. And as a result of that, they're going to reduce his sentence. And of course, you know, you look at that, you go, well, probably Rothstein has been negotiating behind the closed doors and telling them, you better get me off, because if you don't give me what I'm asking for, I'm going to tell everything. And I'm sure that they're deathly afraid of that. And your website is, give me the website, please.
My website is www.
Right.
Dot iViewit, iViewit.tv.
Okay.
And my email is iViewit@iViewit.tv.
iViewit@iViewit.tv. iViewit.tv. Okay. And what is going on? You have several things that you've raised here. What is the status of Anderson's whistleblowing? Is that going anywhere?
It is. It's hopefully going criminal, because she came out in a civil case. She won her First Amendment violation of free speech in regard to her whistleblower claims.
Mm-hmm.
New York, that's how it's ferreted in the courts, a whistleblower. And she lost her money damage claim against three of the individuals, but at the same moment, she filed a request for a completely new hearing based on the illegal representation of Andrew Cuomo of the state defendants, claiming that, you know, of course she would have gone to him to investigate these people. And
right.
Instead, he's representing them, but doesn't bring in a third party to investigate them. What Mr. Cuomo is doing in New York is essentially obstructing justice by representing the guilty party she's accusing,
mm-hmm.
and failing his office duty to the people, his honest services, and more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the same thing in my case,
mm-hmm.
representing all these state defendants instead of investigating them.
Mm-hmm.
And by not calling in a third party to represent, what's happened is he's blocked the entire prosecutorial agency that is supposed to investigate corruption of public officials. So now they've got that level steeped in blockage.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's more and more frustrating as you go through this process to see that these guys have really positioned at all of the right stops to deregulate complaints against themselves and insulate them misusing the law. And I always put in my complaints to, you know, the Florida Bar and all these hokey judges and whatnot that, you know, I remind them of the judge's trial of the Nuremberg trials where we tried and convicted to life and more many of the Nazi judges who made it okay to put people in a concentration camp, steal their things, and eventually have them, you know, put their mothers in ovens and stuff.
Well, the interesting thing that was said back in 1949 when the Florida Bar became integrated, there was an opinion by Justice Douglas there was an opinion that came out in the Lathrop, I think it's Lathrop is the case, where he said that because of these integrated bars, we have to be cautious of what will be created, what could be created as goose-stepping brigades, alluding to Nazism at that time. And, of course, also in the 1949 integration question when it was raised in the Supreme Court, one of the dissenters talked about a police state that would evolve. And when you take all of the power that is inherent in the judiciary today because of judicial immunity, you know, that judges can't be sued regardless of what their decisions are in cases.
Well, that's only civilly. Don't let
yes.
them confuse you. They try to say, you know, it's for criminal, but nobody's above the law in the criminal. And so it's a civil issue. They're trying to claim their immunity, and they're trying to extenuate it and make you think that it extends to criminal acts. But it doesn't. If they act outside the scope criminally, they're as culpable and chargeable as anybody else.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, the only time that I don't know how many complaints there are, but there's probably, you know, tens of thousands of complaints against judges, federal judges who are, you know, appointed for life, and yet there's maybe two impeachments in the whole process that have ever come down. But those only occur when the acts are so clear and where they've raped a child in their chambers or something, you know. But other than that, not all the time, but that's, you know, those are pretty clear, so they get into trouble with that. But other things that are more complex, it's almost like everybody becomes a total moron and can't figure out what's going on. And they take evidence that you provide to them and they turn it into something other than what you've given them to make it fit the situation. So what you have is you have this almost like a powerful party, you know, like the Communist Party is in other countries where they're the elite and everybody else is working for them.
Well, now you're getting to my real, you know, conspiratorial side of what's happened, and I do believe our country is in the throes of a dictatorship. Sandra Day O'Connor left the bench in her first speech at Georgetown, said the country is in the throes of a dictatorship that is better to stop now than later, and I have followed that marching order ever since hearing those words, knowing that our country, the whole country, is in peril of a tyrannous group of treasonous lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have literally committed mass treason on the country, on other countries. They've done all kinds of they feel that there is no law and that they're above the law. So in that, you're correct. You can start pogroms and putting people in Guantanamo and denying rights. And, you know, you're acting exactly like what we broke away from in England. In fact, I'm wondering why we need a Tea Party if we're not in a monarchy.
Right, exactly. That's exactly where we are. We're in a monarchy, and the elite are the aristocrats that are running everything, are pretty much attorneys in the House, the Senate, the executive branch, and of course the judiciary, and they're stealing property from people all the time. My guest is a very knowledgeable Elliot Bernstein. Elliot has had tremendous experience with the judiciary and the judicial process and with trying to resolve a theft of his property, and it has exploded and just become a huge and massive lawsuit of a $12 trillion claim. And what's interesting, of course, it is against, who are the defendants in your claim? I imagine that there's a roster that goes from page to page.
About 10,000 lawyers between the firms.
Right.
40 or so judges.
Right.
The Supreme Court of Florida, the Florida Bar.
Where does a suit like that get heard, Elliot?
Well, I filed to be related to the whistleblower Anderson.
Okay.
And federal judge Shira Shinlin marked it legally related, along with seven or eight other cases of abuse in the disciplinary.
Sarah Shinlin is what? A federal
judge at the U.S. District Court, Southern District of New York.
Okay. It sounds to me like she may be a good guy, at least at this point, huh? A good girl.
I say there may be a halo over her head, but uh-huh. We'll see. I've been down the path before with people who are doing the right thing, and you know, when we're hearing that they're threatening witnesses on the way to give deposition in Anderson, who are state employees,
right?
You know, it's getting to a frightening level. You know, as I mentioned, somebody put a bomb in my car, blew up three cars next to me. You can see that on my homepage.
Right.
I was right here in Florida, and I can't even get a press release on it, you know,
right.
Published by the press. Or, you know, right now, you know, we're dealing with, you know, if you look at this, my initial comment to you was the lawyers I'm suing in the state bars got letters of recommendation from the state bars.
Okay.
But at the patent office, mm-hmm. they're under federal investigation for fraud on the United States Patent Office, which Special Agent Stephen Lucchese of the West Palm Beach FBI claimed he was going to join Mr. Hiriai Motes of the U.S. Patent Office in bringing to the U.S. attorneys the charges of fraud on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mr. Motes, the head of the patent bar for the patent office, he's the guy who advised me when he looked at the evidence to file charges of fraud on the United States, not fraud on Elliot or IVU at my companies,
right?
But fraud on the United States by these lawyers. Now, that's led to the suspension of my patents in this never-ending suspension, it appears. But obviously, bringing down a corruption ring this large would be a large task, I assume.
Well, it's a huge task. It's the largest task facing us in the country.
So the only people where these guys have gotten any relief is at the state bars. The only way they got that was in conflict. They got caught and all that. That's turned into a big mess. Now there's a whistleblower, insider, mm-hmm. pointing to exactly how this operation works within the state bar, how they're washing the complaints, how Rothstein will probably get elected to the Florida Supreme Court next.
My guest is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot, I want to just take a short commercial break here. This is Disbar the Florida Bar. I am the host, Les Winston. I am with you every day here, on every weekday from 2 to 3 right here on The Biz in South Florida. And we are bringing to light stories of victims of the Florida Bar's corruption. In this case, Mr. Bernstein, Elliot Bernstein, had patents that were stolen. And he is alleging that they were stolen by Proskauer Rose. He filed complaints with the Florida Bar. The Florida Bar basically whitewashed everything that was brought to their attention, claiming that there was law in place that was contrary to or allowing this to happen, which was never was not part of legislative. It was not finished in the legislature. I think that's correct, right?
They tried to dismiss the complaint based on made-up law that they had just made up a few nights earlier.
Yeah, that's a tendency, and that's what we're dealing with here in South Florida and Florida in general.
Yeah, that was Kenneth Marvin. I don't know if he's still at.
Yeah, Ken Marvin's still there. It's Ken Marvin, John Harkness. These players have been there for a long time, and they're basically operating the entire disciplinary process and on a good old boys network. And so Proskauer and Rose is a very large law firm, as the other defendants in your lawsuit, Greenberg Traurig, against several other law firms.
Greenberg represents the Florida Bar.
Exactly.
Look at what they filed when I claimed they were conflicted in the federal court as a response.
Right.
They claim that they're like buddy-buddy with the Florida Bar, the only law firm that handles their, you know, I guess, messy stuff. After Abramoff, I guess they owe him a favor.
Uh-huh. Well, the interesting thing, of course, in Abramoff, I was wondering, well, do you have any comment on the fact that Abramoff got convicted?
Well, my comment is, why didn't the lawyers?
Uh-huh.
You know, and we look back and who's the lawyer?
Right. There are lawyers behind a lot of these things that
now
are going on.
Now there are lawyers behind Stanford and the deregulation of the banking inside the regulators in Florida. I mean,
that was also Greenberg.
When are you going to put a stop to these criminal law firms that are actually criminal, not, you know, criminal law, but criminals running law firms as a front organization? In fact, I make the claim up at my website that most of these Ponzi's were. There's Madoff with $80 billion. Well, there's only been $1 billion found. What did he? How many cheeseburgers can a guy eat? You know, literally.
Yeah.
Meaning, normally you get a forensic accountant in here and they find $79 billion more. But you know, they might have been boats, houses, cars, yachts. But you know, there's only so much edible dollars there.
Right.
And so where did all this money go? And what I say is it's all, you know, if you look at the Proskauer involvement with Stanford and Stanford's involvement in money laundering drug cartels from Mexico, which sure sounds like a good law firm to me.
It's okay.
You start to see it that the Ponzi schemes are really money laundering operations for the law firms.
Right.
Notice there's lawyers behind all the Ponzi's. Why would lawyers run a Ponzi? They're not. They're money laundering. They're making money disappear, which is all their profits from their stolen real estate frauds, bankruptcy frauds. Now they're in New York taking children frauds. And
right.
It's gone nuts.
Well, that's the whole point. Even, the way that these things come down is generally directed, the way that the people are able to do this, they're directed because the attorneys understand the chess game. They understand how to play behind the scenes, and they're difficult to catch in a lot of instances. They do get caught because that's the way karma comes out, and hopefully all of these crooked attorneys will get caught at some time in the future. But if you look at the way, there's a school board official here, got caught. She just she was trapped because they FBI put together somebody to entice her into the wrongdoing, and she followed that, and she wasn't smart enough. But in the case of Greer, for example, here Greer was the head of the Republican Party of Florida, and what he was accused of, the scheme that he was accused of, was siphoning cash into a private corporation. And that private corporation was established by Gray Robinson Law Firm. In other words, Greer and Johnson, the two were working together. And the reason why this all came out was because Johnson blew the whistle on it. But it was established by Gray Robinson, a law firm. And that law firm is now defending the Supreme Court of Florida against a lawsuit by another attorney here in South Florida, Jack Thompson. This is all one big happy family of how they try and work this all around.
Well, Jack Thompson's lawsuit's got Greenberg Traurig in the middle of a like $900 million Ponzi.
Yeah.
Not like Proskauer in the hangar in Miami teaching people to lie to the SEC, but actually coordinating the Ponzi.
Right. We're making
it
work.
Still representing the Florida Bar, in my case in New York.
Right.
And they're Proskauer still representing themselves in my case.
Right, exactly.
And they're caught in these huge scandals where they're involved in criminal activity, not just representing a criminal, but actually the criminals.
Yeah, I'd be interested in knowing whether they're insured by Florida Lawyers Mutual.
I'm wondering if any of these people are reporting the liabilities properly, because if they were, they'd be out of business overnight.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be able to hire a new client with any coverage.
Right.
I mean, the fact that Proskauer is being sued for the entire Stanford loss in a global class action lawsuit is beyond comprehension, how they're taking in new people or new clients or, you know, I mean.
Well, if there's a complaint filed against an attorney, it's not made, it's not part of the record. But, you know, if and they don't keep it on file. You know, if you could file 10 complaints and they dismiss.
But these are lawsuits.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
How do you hide a lawsuit from your liability carrier?
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They make a deal with the liability carrier. We're going to come to the end of this program, and I'm sorry that it's ending, because this is a very interesting discussion with you, Elliot. I really do appreciate your spending time with me this afternoon here on Disbar the Florida Bar.
Back at you, Les.
Yeah.
I greatly appreciate your heroic efforts, and they are heroic, and I am very surprised when I see somebody willing to stand up to the man anymore.
Well, we're doing this, you know, it's a public service. This is a 501c4 organization, which is kind of like a lobbying group in a sense. We do need support. So if you can help us, that would be a benefit, of course. And that would go to support this radio show and continue it on the air. I think it's very important that this continue, that the victimization be known to the people of Florida. This is Disbar the Florida Bar. My guest has been Elliot Bernstein. Thank you so much for your time today, Elliot. It's very enlightening, your story. And of course, we wish you the best of luck with your huge lawsuit going forward. If you can get past all of the heroics that they're going to throw at you, you are certainly more powerful than most people have been, and I appreciate your efforts. We'll be with you again, same time, same station tomorrow, folks. Tune in again for Disbar the Florida Bar, and again, you can catch us streaming live on www.disbartheflorida.com. It broadcasts everywhere in the world, and we want this story out. We want this type of corruption to end. It is pervasive. It is all over the country, but especially in Florida, which is the number one judicial hellhole in the country. We'll be with you again same time tomorrow. My name is Les Winston, and I host Disbar the Florida Bar right here on The Biz in South Florida.
In Florida, all other professionals except lawyers are governed by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Only lawyers regulate themselves through the Florida Bar. This has created a very dangerous good old boys club and a lot of rotten apples.
Sue me.
Tune in each weekday from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. and listen to stories of individuals who have been affected by the corruption of the Florida Bar. We want you to be aware of the problem that we have with this disciplinary agency. Join us every weekday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz.